So we are continuing our series on called Higher Ground, looking at the preach that Jesus preached on the Mount. We are looking at what he taught his disciples, and we've been talking about this narrow lane that Jesus has called us to. And here he's teaching us how to stay in that narrow lane and not dwindle into this 10 highway lane that is from the world and not from God. So DJ last week spoke about what looking on giving to the poor. And this morning we are going to continue in Matthew 6, looking at what Jesus taught about prayer. And this morning, all of us sitting here in this hall is walking a different journey. I think some of us have been praying for many years. It's part of our daily walk with God. We do it often and we do it frequently. Some of us have prayed perhaps in the past, but it's not something that you do very often. Maybe it's only when you're in need or when you are scared or unsure that you pray. Maybe some of us here this morning have never prayed before. You don't know what to pray. You don't know how to pray. And my request to you is that you will open your hearts and your minds to what God wants to do, regardless of where you're at in your journey. I truly believe that God wants to speak to us as a church this morning, but also as individuals. He meets us where we're at. He meets us whether we pray often or not at all. He meets us there. So open your hearts, open your minds as we look at scripture and what God wants to say today. So let us pray. Father, thank you that we have scripture. Father, thank you that we can open your word and learn from you. Learn more about you. Learn the ways that you have called us to. Father, I pray that as we look at your word, that you would open our hearts, open our minds, and come and change us, Jesus. May we be different when we walk out of here, not because of anything that I've said, but because what you are saying to us. Thank you for loving us unconditionally and always. In Jesus' name, amen. So turn with me to Matthew 6. We will be reading from verse 5 to 15. It will also be up on the screen. I'm reading from the NIV. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you that they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they have sinned against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sins. It's interesting to see that when Jesus starts talking about prayer, that he doesn't start with telling us how to pray or why or what we pray. He firstly addresses our motive behind our prayers. He talks about our heart towards prayer. People in that time were praying because they wanted attention from people. They wanted to further their social status. So they prayed to get approval from God, but also from people. And here Jesus is saying, do not be like them. Do not pray to get approval from other people. Do not pray to further your social status. Don't turn something that should be intimate between you and me into something so that other people will recognize you or give you approval. We should be authentic in our motives. The reason why we should be praying is because we want to spend time with God. The heart of prayer, the heart of a Christian life, the heart of this narrow lane that we are walking on is coming to the Father. That is what it's all about. It's about being with Him, being with our Creator, being with the Father that created us. That is what it's about. That is what prayer is about. Not about anything else, no person, no circumstance, other than being with Jesus. So this morning we are going to look at four reasons why we pray and four ways on how to pray. So why do we pray? Because we have a desire to be with our Father. Let's take Lainey and Terry as an example. How long have you guys been married? Nearly 40 years. Oh my goodness, congratulations. That is an accomplishment. So do you guys think that Lainey and Terry will be sitting here happily married for almost 40 years if they only spoke now and again? Or on a monthly basis? Or if they only spoke when Lainey needed something? Let's talk about my marriage with Albert. He knows that I'll be very upset. I will not cope if I'm only talking to him now and again. He always says that the time that I get to spend with him will never be enough for me. I love talking to him. I love spending time with him. I love chatting about our days, our feelings, talking about our family, our friends, decisions we need to make. And that's because I love him and I'm in an intimate relationship with him. And that's what it should be when we look at our relationship with our Father. We love him, we're in an intimate relationship with him, so we should be talking to him all the time. It should be our desire to talk to him all the time. We should want to connect with him. We should want to tell him about what's bothering us, what we are struggling with, and allowing him to come and comfort us, come and love us, come and show us his ways. We get to understand, when I talk to my husband, I get to understand the type of person he is. I get to learn more about him. And that's what happens when we spend time with our Father. We learn more about him. We learn more about his heart. And we get to understand him and his character. And we get to understand the love that he has for us. Prayer is an act of obedience. God tells us to pray. In the beginning of the scripture, Jesus says, when you pray. Not if you pray, when you feel like praying. When you pray. He expects us to spend time with our Father. He also spoke to his disciples. Jesus often told his disciples, go and pray. He expected them to pray and he expects us to pray. Colossians 4 verse 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. 1 Chronicles 16 verse 11 says, look to the Lord and seek his strength. Seek his face always. God tells us to pray. Prayer is an act of faith. When we are praying, we are showing God that we believe he exists. We are showing God that we believe in him. When we are praying for his guidance, for his wisdom, we are showing him that we trust in him. We trust in his ways. We trust in his purpose and his will. And the other end of that is that God promises to be there when we talk to him. All throughout scripture, God continuously promises us to be there when we seek him. Jeremiah 29 verse 12 to 14 says, When you call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And Matthew 7 verse 7 is a scripture I think a lot of us know really well. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For anyone who asks, receive. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Another scripture, 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. God promises us to be there when we seek him. And God is a God of promises. He does not break his promises. So we can know that when we seek him, we will find him. Fourth reason why we pray is because Jesus prayed. He will always be our number one example on how to live a life here on earth. Jesus prayed often and continuously. As I was preparing this, I was thinking about those material bands with a WWJD on. I don't know if you still get them. We used to get them often. And it said, what would Jesus do? So I can tell you what Jesus did. He prayed. So we should be praying. And the fact that he prayed here on earth while he was fully man helps us to understand that he understands what we are going through when we pray. He was fully man. He knows exactly what we are going through when we are praying here on earth, because he was fully man while he was praying. So let's look at how Jesus say, how does he say we should be praying? And he's being very practical in his teaching. He starts with these words, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We should approach God as our Father and our Creator. Jesus calls God Father 10 times in Matthew, this chapter, chapter 6 alone. We have to approach God as our Father. He is our Father. And I know some people might not have good memories or good experiences thinking about a father because they didn't have a good experience with their earthly father. But this morning I want to tell you that your heavenly Father loves you unconditionally. He died for you and he loves you, and you can approach him as your Father who loves you. We do not have to grovel on the floor and in front of God. He wants to receive from us. And some of us may have difficulty praying because we have so much shame and guilt that we feel we cannot approach God because what we have done, of who we are. But God is a forgiving, loving Father. Our Father is a Father that doesn't deny us anything that is good of us. Let that sink in for a moment. Matthew 7 that we just read says, How much more will your heavenly Father give you good gifts if you ask him? He's a Father that doesn't deny us what is good for us. Let's think about the prodigal son. The son walked away from his father. He thought he knew better, followed his own path. Didn't go so well, decided to go back to his father. And on his way, he said he's going to tell his father that he's not worthy to be called his son anymore. His father can treat him as a servant. He's not worthy to be called his son. So I'd like to read what the father responds in Luke 15. But while still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. We can go to our Father just like the prodigal son did. And we can know that our Father from heaven is waiting for us with open arms. He addresses us with compassion. That is the Father that we are serving. We can approach him with confidence and boldness. Hebrews 4 verse 16 says, "Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time in need." Then Jesus goes on praying, "Hallowed be your name." The word hallowed means to be holy or to purify or to consecrate. In these words, we are giving glory to God. And it may not be taken as a petition, but as an adoration. This Lord that we are serving is to be magnified and glorified, for it's God's holiness in the greatness and glory of all his perfections. God is majestic and holy, and we must begin our prayers by praising him for what he's done and who he is. And it isn't amazing to see these two characteristics, our Father and a holy, magnificent, glorious God. And they both describe the same God, our God. He's glorious, he's magnificent. He set the stars in the sky, the oceans and the waves and the wind obey him. But still, he's our Father. He's your Father, our safe space. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We sometimes approach Christianity as, I just need to get to the eternal life. I'm holding on with everything I have here just so I can get there. And it is true, we will get there. But God wants us to work here. Jesus is praying that God's kingdom will come here on earth. When we trust in his name, when we say, yes, Father, I believe in you, we become citizens of his kingdom while we are living on this earthly kingdom. And sometimes the way God's kingdom breaks through in this earthly kingdom is through you and through me. When we do acts of righteousness, when we follow him, when we obey him, when we obey his teachings, when we are establishing God's kingdom here on earth. When we obey what is written in scriptures, we become agents of God. We get to partner with him and see his kingdom come here on earth. Then Jesus goes on by saying, your will be done. Isn't that beautiful? Your will be done. And sometimes that can be a really hard thing to pray for. We want situations and circumstances to turn out the way we think is best. We want to be in control. We want to determine how things are going. So praying that his will be done can sometimes be really hard. It sometimes takes great changes in our hearts to truly want what God wants. It's an act of surrendering to him. Saying, you know what, I don't know what this situation is going to end up looking like. But I choose to trust in you. I choose to trust in your ways. I choose to surrender to your will and your purpose. Luke 22, from verse 39 to 44, I'd like to read it for us. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus always submitted to his Father's will. And we can see here that it wasn't easy for him always, because he was fully man. It was hard for him. He knew what was coming, and it was hard for him. He prayed, "Father, rather take this away, but not my will, yours be done." A friend of mine I spoke to a couple of weeks ago, they were trusting, there was a change coming, and they were trusting God for this timing. So they had all their plans set out because this is happening at this time. And it didn't happen in that time that they planned. So the morning I spoke to her, she said no. She had to have a conversation with God because God's timing and their timing was not the same timing. And it didn't come out of a place of arrogance. It was a daughter sitting with her father saying, "This is really hard. We were planning this. This is not the way that we wanted to happen." And at the end of it, she still told me, but she knows that God knows best. It's okay for it to be hard. It is hard, but we have to surrender because we know that He knows best. We are not passively resigning ourselves to fate, but we are requesting God to accomplish His perfect will in the world and in our lives. And He does that by us being willing servants of Him. God wants us to attend to God's kingdom first before we attend to the concerns of our little kingdoms. We begin with our Father, His name, His will, and then we get to our concerns. Jesus then goes on praying for three things. He prays for daily bread, he prays for not to be led into temptation, and he prays for forgiveness. And for me, these things speaks about acknowledging our dependence on Him. Firstly, He prays for our daily bread. And some of us might not know what that's like because we have cupboards full of food at home. Maybe we are praying and planning for our monthly bread or our annual bread rather than your daily bread. Some of us that's sitting here may say, "I know exactly what that's like because I don't know where my next meal is coming from." It speaks about acknowledging and understanding that everything we have is from God. We need to acknowledge God as our sustainer and our provider. He gives us physical strength, wisdom, courage, and the Holy Spirit in every day. And it's not just the physical things, it's the grace that He gives to us every day. It's a reminder of the constant grace that we so desperately need. It's His mercies that are new every day. It's Him giving us a new day when we wake up in the morning. It's Him giving us the air that we are breathing. When we say this, we confess that we did not create ourselves and we are not self-sufficient. We must trust God to provide to us what we need every day. Then Jesus prays not to be led into temptation. And God never tempts us. He may test us, He doesn't tempt us. In Luke 22 that we just looked at, Jesus told His disciples to go and pray not to be led into temptation. And us as Jesus' disciples, we need to pray that we will not fall into that as well. Sometimes temptation can be so subtle that we don't even really know that it's happening. God promises that we won't be tempted to what we cannot be, and He will always give us a way out. It's acknowledging that we need the Holy Spirit. We need that discernment. We need to be able to recognize when temptation is crept in. It's asking the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us every day, in every moment. Lastly, Jesus prays for forgiveness. And there is no one in this world that does not need to be forgiven by God and by men and by women. None of us can be proud or superior, feeling that others may need the forgiveness, but we don't. And he also says that if we can't forgive, then our Father won't forgive us. And our salvation from sin is not based on the forgiving others, but it says that we can't receive God's forgiveness if other people can't experience our forgiveness. And it can be so hard to forgive. It can terrible situations. It can be really hard to forgive sometimes. And I don't want to go into forgiveness. I think it can be a preach all on its own. But it's realizing that we cannot do it by ourselves. If we allow God to help us, to guide us, and we understand the forgiveness that we've received from him as sinners, that we can make a way to forgive people who have wronged us. My last point, Paul encourages us to pray continuously and with petition. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17 says, "Rejoice always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ." Jesus prayed continuously. All throughout Scripture it says Jesus withdrew to a lonely place and he prayed for his Father's will to be done, asking for his purposes. In Luke 22 that we looked at, it says Jesus prayed more earnestly. We can't pray for God's will to be done in our life once and then expect everything to now just be okay. Things happen. Our circumstances change. It looks dire. We need the Holy Spirit. We need God to speak to us every single day. Our need for God, our need for the Holy Spirit is a daily need. It's an in every moment need. And our willingness to surrender and to submit to him and to his will, seeing his kingdom come here on earth and praying for his will and not for our will, is a choice that we need to make every single day. We need to choose to spend time with him. We need to choose to submit to him and to his plans and his purposes. We need to set our own agendas aside. We need to set our own plans aside and say, "God, I choose your will for my life. I choose your purposes for my life." We should praise God, pray for his work in this world, pray for our daily needs, pray for forgiveness, and pray that he'll help us in difficult situations. Won't you stand with me? I ask us to please come up. I'd like to read a quote for us. It's from Timothy Keller. He wrote a book on prayer. This is what he says in the book. "To pray is to accept that we are and will always be wholly dependent on God for everything." I'd like us to pray. I'm going to ask the guys to put up the Lord's Prayer for us on the screens. I'd like to us to all pray together out loud. The screen, the words will be up there. But let's pray this, and not by just reading it the words, but let's have it in our heart's desire to pray to our Father, to praise and worship him, to see his kingdom come and let his will be done. Afterwards, we're going to sing one more song. And we'll end off. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.